Today we celebrate the Feast of Corpus Christi, the solemnity of the most holy body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. The Second Vatican Council reminded us and taught that the Holy Eucharist and the Mass are the source and summit of our lives as Catholics. So to put this in context, not too long ago we were celebrating Easter and concluded with Pentecost. So we remembered how the Father so loved us, He gave us His only Son, who offered the sacrifice for our sins and rose to give us the hope of everlasting life. At Pentecost, then, Jesus, through the Father, poured forth the Holy Spirit, and the apostles were filled with those gifts to found the church. They knew, though, that our Lord would be with them, as He said at the Ascension. Moreover, they had the Holy Eucharist. They had what Jesus had given to them at the Last Supper. Last Sunday, we celebrated the Feast of the Holy Trinity. So, putting all of that together, we see a God who is love. And because He is love, He has shown His love for us, and He wants to draw us into His love. Therefore, this Sunday, we celebrate a feast day that honors the sacrament of love, the sacrament of God's love. So, my brothers and sisters, our gospel passage takes us to the familiar scene of the Last Supper. Jesus has gathered His apostles around Him. He takes bread and wine, and He says those words, "This is my body, this is my blood." Those words should have echoed in their hearts and made them think back to a time when Jesus had multiplied the loaves and the fish. Going to the 6th chapter of St. John's Gospel, Jesus miraculously transforms these loaves and fish and feeds the crowd of 5,000. Later, though, our Lord teaches when asked about all of this. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life come down from heaven. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood will have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, my blood true drink." Now, when our Lord taught that, and I would encourage you to read the 6th chapter of St. John's Gospel today, but when our Lord taught that, there were those that grumbled and said, "How can he possibly do this?" And they left Jesus. But the apostles stayed. And Peter, even when asked by Jesus, "Do you want to leave too?" Peter said, "Where would we go? You have the words of eternal life." So given that foundation, when Jesus at the Last Supper takes that unleavened bread and that wine and says, "This is my body, this is my blood," they had been prepared. They knew our Lord could perform the miracle, just by the same efficacious word through which he could multiply those loaves and fish, or change water into wine like at Cana, or raise up Lazarus from the dead, or cure the paralyzed or blind man, or calm a storm. With the same efficacious words, our Lord could indeed miraculously, mysteriously share with them his very self, his body, blood, soul, and divinity. But we have to remember, it really doesn't stop there, because the next day on Good Friday, our Lord's body did hang on the cross. His blood was spilt to forgive our sins and to form a new covenant. Jesus, as priest, offered himself as that lamb of sacrifice on the altar of the cross. But unlike the sacrifices of old, Jesus rose from the dead. And therefore, when we celebrate the great gift of the Holy Eucharist, we are remembering not only the Last Supper, but his sacrifice and his resurrection. Well, my brothers and sisters, this is what we believe. This is what we celebrate every time we have Mass. And we have believed and we have celebrated this since the time of the apostles. So when we come here for Mass, then, we're coming to the presence of God to worship. Here we've been fed with the readings, the Word of God. We will profess our faith momentarily, and then we offer the sacrifice. So the priest, who is ordained as a priest of Christ, acts in the person of Christ. Father Scheer and I were at the ordinations yesterday, and how wonderful it was to see our deacon Noah Mori become a priest. And here, the bishop not only called him to orders, but then the bishop laid hands on him, showing that transferal of the apostolic authority, and said the prayer of consecration. And with that, Deacon Noah Mori became Father Noah Mori, a priest. And this morning he'll offer his first Mass at St. Veronica's. But how beautiful that is. So that what Jesus did at the Last Supper and the priesthood he gave to the apostles has been handed on through the sacrament of holy orders to priests today. So the priest, when he offers Mass, is allowing Christ to work through him. So the priest takes the bread and the wine. He uses the very words that our Lord used. Notice that he says these words in the present tense because it's like Jesus is speaking those words now. When we hear those words of consecration, then those efficacious words bring about that transubstantiation by which that bread and wine become truly the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. Granted, the appearances, the characteristics, technically the accidents, do not change. So shape, color, taste, smell, and so on. But the what it is, the substance, that changes. Hence, transubstantiation. Christ is sharing himself with us. What a great sacrament of love. Christ is truly present. And that's why, after communion, we reserve the Blessed Sacrament in the tabernacle. That's why we genuflect whenever we pass in front of the tabernacle. But my brothers and sisters, as we ponder this beautiful sacrament of love, we have to remember, yes, Christ is giving us to himself. We have to give ourselves to him. So our sacrifice is our love. And notice that in our first reading, when Moses was proclaiming the covenant, the people said, yes, we will obey all of the teachings. That's our job too. To receive Christ so intimately through the Holy Eucharist means you and I have to sacrifice ourselves and follow his teachings, putting aside our will, putting aside the distractions of this world, and truly believing, truly following. We also remember that through this Holy Communion, we are united with our Lord, we're united with all the saints and angels, but we're united with each other. Never should we forget the needs of our own church here and do the charitable works to build up the body of Christ. We must not also forget those beyond our confines. So think especially of our persecuted Catholics today who will maybe risk their lives, even lose their lives, because they're at Mass in Iraq, Syria, Nigeria, Pakistan. So the Eucharist makes us very mindful that this altar is really an altar of the world. And the communion we receive unites us as a communion in faith with all of our brothers and sisters throughout the world. Now, the real challenge is, do you believe? That's a question we have to ask ourselves. Do I really believe? I say that because living in such a technological age, in such a fast-paced age, we could easily doubt. We could wonder, well, is it all for real? The feast day that we celebrate today originates from such a situation. Back in the year 1263, a German priest named Peter of Prague was traveling on pilgrimage to Rome, and he stopped at the town of Bolsena. It's about 100 miles north of Rome. And poor Peter was a good priest, devout. He wanted to be a good priest, but he doubted. He wondered if when he said those words of consecration, it really happened. So, the next day, he was offering Mass at the Church of St. Christina at an altar where her tomb was, and as he held the host and said the words of consecration, the host began to bleed. And the blood went over his hands. It dropped onto the corporal. You can imagine how his hands must have been trembling. He started to cry. At first, he didn't know what to do, but eventually, he made it known. Remember, in those days, the priest had his back to the people. So the people eventually witnessed what had happened. Well, they knew that Pope Urban IV was staying in the town of Orvieto, about 10 miles away. So they decided to take the sacred host, the blood that had spilled on the corporal, wrap it very carefully, place it in another clean linen wrapping, and take it to the Holy Father. After investigation of the witnesses who had seen this, the Holy Father declared this a miracle. In Orvieto today at the cathedral, you can still see the blood-stained corporal back from 1263. But for this reason, Pope Urban IV declared this day the feast day of Corpus Christi. He commissioned St. Thomas Aquinas to write a special Mass, an office for the Liturgy of the Hours, and even those beautiful hymns like Pange Lingua, Tantum Ergo, and O Salutaris Hostia. So, poor Peter of Prague had doubt, but he wanted to believe, and Christ gave him that miracle. My brothers and sisters, I don't know if we'll ever experience such a miracle, but nevertheless, we should be here praying, I want to believe. Lord, help me to believe, to receive you in this great gift. To help us do this, I think one of the best ways is to just examine for a moment our own sense of reverence. So how do we prepare when we come to Mass? Do we really take the time to get here a little bit early so we can settle down, take a few moments for prayer, clear our mind before Mass begins? A good practice would be maybe read the readings ahead of time. That's what's so great about these little Magnificats. We could read the readings ahead of time. That way, we can be pondering them before we actually hear them at Mass. We should follow along. For myself, it helps me if I'm not only hearing, but I'm also reading, seeing what's going on, and also if I am speaking. If a person is just there, but not reading, not speaking, how can one really worship? So examine yourself and ask, am I really being as reverent as I should to receive our Lord today? And then, as we receive Holy Communion, to do so very reverently. After receiving, to take the time to give thanks. It always pains me when I see people receive communion and just walk out the door. It's like watching Judas walk out the door from the Last Supper. How can the grace grow in our heart if we just walk out the door? We have to pause and give thanks, because Mass is a whole act of worship, beginning to end. So my brothers and sisters, we have this beautiful sacrament, this beautiful gift of Christ's love. Let us take it to heart and ask the Lord for the grace to believe. And with that, then, the grace, in a way, will transubstantiate our own lives. We will become more Christ-like. May God bless you.